is shining upon us. This is the biggest show in the game. There has been a ceasefire called in the Middle East between Palestine and Israel. A ceasefire called. A ceasefire called. Breaking news. There is peace in the Middle East temporarily, but we accept it. The people want peace in the Middle East. There is a ceasefire called. Maybe we can keep the peace. Could you play this song for me today? Because it's such a glorious day. That's right. You got a loud phone, man. The mayor's in the building. The biggest show in the game, breaking news, ceasefire. Palestine, Israel, ceasefire. That's right. Grandmaster Melly Mel, Grandmaster Flash, The Furious Five. We gonna talk hip hop today. Shout out to Nasir Jones. James Todd Smith. Ruben Diaz, you did it big today. They're going to remember you for 1,000 years. Bronx Borough President. D.T. Barber, I see you. Everywhere. Just don't care. But I couldn't get far. Come on. Push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. How I keep from going under. Standing on the front stoop, hanging out the window. Let me tell you about my day. Thank you, Mayor. Executive producer Azariah Malone Cartagena is not here. If it wasn't for her, we wouldn't be here. My day was exciting, to say the least. The Bronx is the mecca of hip-hop music. Whether you like it or not, we do know that hip-hop is universal. We do know that hip-hop has a home out west. We do know that hip hop has a home down south. But the birth, the mecca of hip hop music is in the Bronx, New York. And so, the boogie down Bronx. And so, hip hop music is poor people's music. It came out of oppression. The Bronx in the 70s and 80s was called the Bronx is Burning. People didn't even have regular buildings to live in. They lived in abandoned buildings and used the power from the street lights to live in a building. Immigrants from Puerto Rico came over here, barely knew English. Black people were in the struggle. And so much oppression, healthcare, the same things you hear today. Police harassment, healthcare, education, lack of housing. And so the people rebelled. This music was always against everything. And so the people made something called hip-hop music. Grandmaster Flash, Kool Herc, Afrika Bambaataa, and the Zulu Nation. And I had the privilege as a kid to live in the hood that invented hip-hop music. Now, Fat Joe, you say a lot of stories. You talk a lot of shit. What do we believe? You might be an exaggerator. Now, wherever you from, pick a state, a borough, whatever. You could be from the west side, you could be from the up side, you could be from there. And people claim their borough. You know, there's only one Marcy Projects in Brooklyn. But you could be from Coney Island and say, I'm from Brooklyn, like Jay-Z. But geographically, you're not from Marcy Projects, which is cool. Brooklyn is Brooklyn. No, I am from the place where hip hop was born. The hood. Now, so this is sentimental to me. Even through times in my career where the Bronx wasn't popping and I had to wave the flag of the Bronx. There's many Bronx guys that claimed Harlem. Many Bronx guys claim Harlem. Shout out to Crazy Legs. Living legend. B-boy breakdancer. Pioneer. And so, as a kid, I would watch Melly Mel and Grandmaster Flash play pickup games of basketball in 23 Park. I would watch Ruby Dee, who to my knowledge is the first Latino MC, play softball with his crew. My brother, and I said it today in front of Grandmaster Flash, where he confirmed. And so we got a new society of cancellation on Twitter, of appropriations of your culture vulture. So today I said in my little speech or whatever, my brother Angel and Whippy Whip, my brother Angel was a crate boy for Grandmaster Flash, one of the three founding fathers of the birth of hip hop. Grandmaster Flash said a speech today how he invented mixing the records. He invented it. The inventor of what every DJ does. So I went up there and I said, my brother Angel was a crate boy for Grandmaster Flash. Meaning back in the days, there wasn't Serato, it wasn't social media. You had to have vinyl. So they had kids that if they were blessed enough to carry the records to the block party or the jam. And so my brother was one of those for Grandmaster Flash. Rolling Loud, what's up? And so I say this and Flash says, absolutely. One of the founding fathers, the inventors, my big brother was his crate boy. And he never got paid money. He got paid flyers to the next jam to hand out. Money man is the man. Ciroc, a bunch, find a vodka. And so, I am at the scene of the crime. I am here. I remember one day I watched Melly Mel and them play basketball. The next day I watched them on the Grammys with Chaka Khan with the glove. And so, God, we come on here, we talk about God all the time. We call divine intervention. We talk about so much about God that God raised Fat Joey from here. I was at an event today. There's a hip hop museum being built as we speak in the Bronx. In 145th. Let me see my shovel, please. I stole the shovel. Okay? Premeditated crime. Right there, right against the wall. Look at Danny's room. It's definitely in Danny's room. And so, shout out Uncle Dan. And so today, I had the honor of shoveling the dirt from the New Ground, alongside some legendary, legendary people. I'm showing you the shovel because I stole it.
That's a man move.
I stole the shovel. And so there's a developer over there. I think his name is Ronnie. I don't know his last name. And I said, brother, you are aiding and abetting in a crime. And he said, really, what's that? I said, I'm stealing this shovel. You're my witness. He laughed. Swiss Beats, what's up, my brother? That DMX album is legend. As I said that, LL Cool J, my idol, was standing next to me, and Nas and LL said, you know what I was thinking? I really want this shovel too. I said, LL, steal the shit with me. And so I realized, LL pulled up something in his post today. He said, 1,000 years from now, they'll be talking about the hip hop museum and that day. And I got in hot water. My wife thought I was out here fucking around or something. She's been on me. And I had to be here. It's in New York all week. Last night, if anybody tells you Fat Joe was in their hood, they're right. I drove every hood in New York City in my truck playing WBLS, listening to slow jams. Brooklyn, Harlem, the Bronx, Forest Projects. I was in Forest Projects for a whole hour last night. You miss me. And I sat in the projects. I drove through every hood. Apparently now they got these cop cars, real cop cars, in the middle of every project with the lights on and the cops standing there. Looks like a great deterrent. And I guess I was so excited about today. Yeah, Swiss, New York season. And so I guess I was excited about today. I went to your hood, Swiss. Jackson Projects, I was out there by 184 where I got shot. I went to where I got shot. I went by Brook Avenue. If you know, you know. I went by Jackson. I went all over the hood. I was out there. Harlem. Brooklyn, Coney Island, Bushwick. You name it, I was there. And I was so excited about the city. I was so excited about the museum. I couldn't sleep, so I went out there. St. Mary's Park, I was out there. In fact, I was really scared. They had like 5 young girls hanging out by St. Mary's Park. It was like 2-3 in the morning. I was like, wow. Like, but they were cool. Everybody was cool. I went there. St. Mary's Park, I was there. I pull up today. It's a hip-hop museum. So now you got to understand, Swiss, my brother. You got to understand what's the importance of the hip-hop museum to me. The importance of the hip-hop museum, it's not just Nas, LL Cool J, Slick Rick, Fat Joe. No. It's about the unsung heroes. The people who paved the way. The people who don't get glorified. Unfortunately, whenever you start a new culture, a new religion, a new genre, those who put their blood, sweat, and tears and pain usually never get recognized. And definitely not financially and monetarily. No. And so today was about them. Today was about Sha-Rock, the first female MC I ever heard go crazy. She was the Lauryn Hill of her time. If there was money at that time, she would have been a millionaire. I don't know her business. Lisa Lee. Little Rodney C. And so I'm sitting at the hip hop museum. I take my little brother, UFO Thieve, the rapper, with me. I'm jumping all over the place, but you're going to get it. So as we leaving, he says, "Yo, Joe, you know what I noticed today?" I said, "What?" He said, "In the Bronx, around these hip hop legends, you little Joey, you baby Joey." And I looked at him and I said, "Wow, that's what you noticed? You didn't notice LL Cool J or Nas, the Scarface of the cryptocurrency, or Slick Rick, the greatest storyteller hip hop history, or Mr. Ness or Grimace?" He said, "Yo, they call you Little Joey." And so he was trying to block, because too many people coming at me in the Bronx, because I'm kind of a big deal too. And they're like, "Yo, get out the way. It's Little Joey. I knew him when he was in Pampers. Get out the way." They moving Thieve out the way. Like, "Yo, come on. You kidding me?" And so I'm surrounded by this greatness. And so I'm Little Joey. I'm from the neighborhood. I take that. I accept that. Angel's little brother. I've always accepted that. And so I'm there. I pull up. As I pull up, I see Slick Rick the Ruler. I lose my mind. I see Slick Rick the Ruler. I lose my mind. So I'm like, "Yo, Rick, what's up? I love you, brother. Oh my God, brother. Yo, I love you." So I follow him into the thing. His wife, Mandy, good friend. She's like, "Joe, we could drive up there." I said, "Oh, let's go." As I pull up in this beautiful day in New York City, a Maybach pulls up right behind me. The guy jumps out the car and says, "Yo, Joe, you know I can't be in the Bronx without you. Nasty Nas. Yo, Nas, what's up, baby?" You know, he's like, "Yo," and then I'm like, he's like, "I can't come to the Bronx without you." I said, "Well, I can't come to the Bronx without him." He sees Slick Rick and loses his mind. And we're both like, "Oh my God, Slick Rick, yo, yo, yo." It's that type of day. It's that type of day.
My brother, you got a glow on your face today.
Yeah.
You do. Yep.
Ciroc, a much finer vodka. Shout out to Diddy.
It's like you home today. It's like
I was home.
You got a smile. You got a glow on your face, my nigga.
Ruben Diaz Jr. Been the barrel president for many years. This was one of his legacy deals he made, was actually making, because a lot of people talk and ain't about that action. A lot of people talk and ain't about that action. Ruben Diaz said, "Hell no, we doing this." Got together with a bunch of great people, Rocky, a legend in the game, Mick Benzo. That's Maya in the background, of course. People are like, "Maya." Swiss is like, "Who's the voice back there?" "Swiss, man, you bored, man, in that fucking mansion, Palacio of yours."
"Swiss, can I borrow a cause piece, please?"
Can he borrow, leave him alone, because Swiss is providing the art for my new home.
No, I will be there. It's okay.
Right next to my shovel.
I will be there.
And so Swiss, I love you, brother. E. Philly. And so I get there, we excited. We walk in. I'm not even going to lie, I forgot Corona today. I did. We stood there. Ruben comes. I see Mr. Ness and Grandmaster Flash. And I lose my mind. "Yo, Grandmaster Flash, Mr. Hall." And Pow Wow. Chuck D. Chuck D was there. Public Enemy. Chuck D. Live beyond living legend. Busy B. I mean, so many great people were there. UTFO, I seen them. I seen Vinny from Naughty by Nature. We're all so proud because an idea that came from nothing is now an institution. See, you got to understand, hip-hop is America's natural resource. And what does it mean? Oh, well, Joe, they have oil in the Middle East. So we got to go over there to get oil to fly the planes. Oh, well, you like diamonds? Well, then we got to go to Africa. Oh, we got to go get some gold in Africa. But hip-hop, it's from here. It's made trillions of dollars. Millions of families have eaten off of hip-hop. Millions of families. How ironic. The people who started hip-hop were broke, had no money. All these years later, it has fed millions of families. Taking people who were written off, who would never have nothing in their life, and made them billionaires and millionaires. I'm not confused. I am hip hop. And so, hip hop's a natural resource. Yeah. And so, Nas goes up there. He's so emotional. He's so passionate. He says, the drums come from Africa. Now, why not? Some people can't handle the truth. You're right. But now, when Fat Joe say the drums come from Africa, this is controversial. Puerto Rico Rob, what's up, my brother? This is controversial. When Fat Joe, the light-skinned guy, Spanish guy, says it comes from Africa, they get mad at me. But it's the truth. And he said it went through the islands. It went to Puerto Rico, the Caribbean. It came to the Bronx. And so, in Africa, they used to communicate through the drums. That's how they talked to each other. When I was growing up in the Bronx, in Forest Projects, there'd be a group of guys every weekend, and they would play the congas till the morning, to 6, 7, and a doom, 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 doom. Doom, 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 doom. And they would do these chants, almost African chants, in the Bronx. And so, to finally, well, listen, let me tell you something, man. I try to tell them. I try to tell him, Trey. Trey said, Joe, you try to tell him? Yes. I try to tell him. And so, to see hip hop come so far, it was a glorious, emotional, but beautiful day. And I'm sitting around, and I'm just soaking it all in to know there's something that was started 48 years ago right here in the Bronx. We'll have a home. Everybody involved, because there was many, 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 many people involved. Thank you. We can't thank you enough. And so here I am. When Joey's in New York, He stumbles across Black Lives Matter rallies. When he comes to New York, it's hip-hop museums. Outside, a little politics going on. You have the unions arguing with whoever's developing the joint, and they speaking on some real New York shit. Real New York shit going on out here. While the mayor's speaking and cursing them out with a megaphone.
It wouldn't be New York if that happened.
It would not be New York. And so I'm not saying, nor will I ever say, hip hop is just the Bronx. No, it's from Cali, it's from Compton, it's from Decatur, it's from Broward County, it's from Germany, it's from Mexico, it's from Cuba, it's from Panama, Asia. Can you imagine being Grandmaster Flash, sitting up there talking about how you first mix good times, good times, good times, and you got Asian brothers rapping and DJing now? You gotta know your worth. You gotta know your worth. And nothing's changed. The message, Grandmaster Flash, Melly Mel, at the end of that video, that I believe is the first video ever, shout out Video Music Box, that I've ever seen, at the end of the video, the police come and throw them in the back of a cop car. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. Graffiti, B-Boy, MC, DJ. Nothing's changed. And so, there's peace in the Middle East for now. In Palestine and Israel. That's what we want. No killings, no bombings, no one getting hurt. Breaking news. Ceasefire. God bless. We don't want nobody getting hurt. And hip hop. I told a story. I was 14 years old. 14. Thought I knew it all. I leave my mother's house. My daughter's 15. She's still a little girl. 14, I was really, really tough for a 14-year-old's age. But there's no way I was out there ready to battle with grown men and diabolical characters. And so I would stay. I didn't say that in the speech today because they wouldn't understand. But I stood in a crackhead hotel, meaning that it was so cheap, crackheads lived in there, by Dodge High School on Crotona Avenue. You know, by the McDonald's. It's still there. It's a motel. I would open the door. People were shooting heroin. Gunshots. Sirens. People smoking crack. And so I wanted to be independent and be on my own. But I was terrified. And the only way I got through it was listening to Slick Rick the Ruler's music in my Walkman over and over and over again. It gave me the courage to do that. And so, Jam Master Jay, rest in peace. A lot of greats. A lot of people paved the way for the hip hop game. A lot of people paved the way for the hip hop game. Y'all was in the streets. We talking about hip hop. Hustling, all that, yes. Yes. My life is transparent. I'm not ashamed of nothing. I don't glorify it. But you know, I came up the hallway. This is why I can't believe we have a hip hop museum. Multi-million dollar hip hop museum. And so, what a glorious day. I was in junior high school. And so for the long time, Treacherous Three, Grandmaster Flash, Sugar Hill, they held that throne for a long time. They had about a 15-year run. It looked like they would never get played out. The Funky Four plus one more, the Furious Five, they had it. And one day I'm in junior high school and we had a talent show. I sung Holy Notes. Oh, here she comes. Watch out, boys. She'll chew you up. I sung this shit at the show in 120. I'm not ashamed. And so, three girls came out and they did a dance routine. And when they played it, Run DMC's It's Like That came on. My junior high school. I watched the whole auditorium turn around and look at each other like, and we knew it was a new day in hip hop. We knew it's a new day. Once you heard it, Grandmaster Flash said today, he said, man, when I discovered how to play the same drum for 10 minutes and how to blend and scratch, he said, man, when I played it for the first time in the party, everybody just stood quiet. Everybody froze. He said, I thought they were going to go crazy. He said, but being it was the first time they ever seen or heard some shit like that, they stopped and thought it was some magic or something. They stopped and said, the fuck, what he got under the table? Like, how's he doing this? And so that's the same reaction we had when we heard Run DMC. And so, man, Diamond told me about this movie. I forget what it was. Diamond D, shout out Diamond D. Told me about a movie that was a scary movie based out of the Bronx in the 70s. He said, you'll really see what the Bronx looked like then. And so, we've come a long, long way. And everybody here has a reason why hip-hop saved their life. Everybody here, there should be, and I'm going to say it on here first, but there should be an actual, like a set. There should be a set in the Museum of Hip-Hop. I didn't tell them, but there should be like AJ Scratch. AJ, he was a legend for Morehouses. Talking to the wrong guy up in the Bronx. AJ. Bam! 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 AJ. And so, what I'm saying right now, damn, just before that. What I was talking about just before that.
Diamond D told you about his movie in the Bronx.
Yeah, but after that, damn, man. Crush Groove, that's in the BX. Beat Street in the BX. All these movies. Wild Style.
Lee from Beat Street, Patterson Projects.
And so, what an incredible, incredible time to be alive. Shout out to Joe Conzo, the first hip-hop photographer who captured everything. Just last week.
From my building.
It's from your building? Last week, I went out there. It was him, Kid Capri, and Sal Abatello, who got the blocks named after them. He said, what he said? He said, also, I know what I was going to tell you. He said, wanted to tell you something to do with our museum. There should be a set. There should be a set. That's the hip-hop museum on social media. There should be a set that's like a stoop of a building. Like a stoop of a building. Because this is where hip-hop politics take place. How many nights did you eat White Castles arguing with somebody who's better? Which rap is better? Melly Mel, Kumo D, or Nas or Jay-Z or Biggie on the stoop?
With a 40 or OE.
Or Fat Joe or this. And so the politics of hip-hop will always be. I'm in front of my store yesterday, and I talked to Feeve. I say, do you think this rap is going to be a one-hit wonder? This other guy who shouldn't have been listening to us say, yeah, he's a one-hit wonder. I don't believe. Why? Because this, this, and that. And that's it. He said, you know, the young kids, they moving fast, so I don't know why that guy ain't dropped no more music. So it's a debate. And every hood globally, worldwide, they would sit out there and argue for hours on a stoop. Maybe that's a little room in there where you can have people debate who's the best. Or talk about legendary debates. Because when you talk about rap, his battle raps. Ruben, you late. Today was epic. I talked about you for 40 minutes. And so, Busy B was there. Kumo D and Busy B have one of the top three most legendary rap battles of all time. Ever. And he was there. And so hip-hop, and it's nice to know the hip-hop museum is listening to the big, big, big show. The biggest show in the game. Okay? DMX, may he rest in peace. His album's dropping. The day of his album dropping, everybody's coming to the big, big show. I got a text today from attorney Benjamin Crump that on the first year anniversary of the death, unfortunately, of George Floyd, he wants to be on this show. This is the biggest show in the game. And we own ourselves. You and me. No boss. So we come up here and we uplift the people. This ain't no regular shit. I'm not confused. This show started just like hip hop. We were home. We were scared. It's Corona. Couldn't come outside. We turned it on and we talked to the people. Dubai is on the check-in. Rashid Ben Hassan, Salam Alaikum, my brother. Dubai is on the check-in. This ain't no regular shit. It's a lot of hip-hop battles. MC Shannon, KRS, we know. The Ja Rule 50s, big. Roxanne Shanté and the real Roxanne. Cannabis LL. We got a lot of them. But the most legendary all-time battle was Busy B and Kumo D. And Kumo D. Boy, that's one bad guy.
Leather suits and all.
Nah, that's one. Boy, he played for keeps. And so, what do you want me to do? Nas and Hov, that was beyond legendary. Nicki Minaj and Remy Ma, legend. Roxanne against the UTFO, legendary battle. And so, you know, if you let society confuse you or tell you who you are nowadays or who you can't be, you could lose... You could lose focus of who you even are, truly. But I tell you all the time, social media is great, but I believe in brick and mortar. I believe in shit you could touch. That's my true belief. And so, It is all about coming together for the love of the art. And you seen the appreciation. You know, we have rap artists out there with oxygen masks. They're old now. But they had to come to this legendary day. You know, you was a fan of hip hop, just going to the jam, that's a part of history. If you was there, if someone here is watching and can actually say they were at a jam, at that jam where Busy B battled Kumo D. Crazy. And so for us, well, Big Pun, let me tell you about Big Pun. Big Pun, all right. You work hard to get to a point. Once you big, famous, you make your money, one false move can make you, the lights turn off. And so Big Pun was already double platinum. We would ride around in a limo going somewhere. He would see a cipher, get out, and battle 10 unknown artists out there. But they knew when Pun got out the car, it was smoke. That was the last guy you wanted to see pop up at a cipher. And I'd be like, yo, you got to stop. You got to stop. Don't do. Same thing with Remy. She went behind my back and battled Lady Luck down there at the Smack or whatever the battle was called. She was platinum on Lean Back, driving a pink Mercedes Benz and jumped out there and battled. And so, it's not much people could tell me, man. And I'm for the people. Time and time and time and time again, I show you. Time and time and time and time and time again, I'll be there for the people. Just like I told all the media. No matter how much money I'm making, I want to make a lot of money. I'm for the voiceless, I'm for the poor people. Always, man. That's where my heart's at. That's what it's about. And so some people, they make it out the hood, whether they're celebrities or not, they make it out the hood and the last thing they want to do is look back and help somebody. It's not what I'm about. Shout out to Diddy. I spoke to Diddy today. My brother, Revolt TV every Tuesday, 10 p.m. Ciroc and Much Finer Vodka. We keeping it consistent here. Time and time again, we show you. And now this whole week, I done went around the whole New York City. I ain't been out for a year and 2 months. Thank God for the vaccine. I feel a little better. I've been out. Because of the vaccine. Otherwise, I would have been home. And so, I've been out. And then people say, keep doing it, Joe. I went to Sylvia's yesterday in Harlem. That's my spot. I know Melba's is incredible. Spoonbread is incredible. But my spot, I know Miss Sylvia since I was 16. My spot is Sylvia's. So I go over there to get the fried chicken and the collard greens, no pork. And when I'm out there, they keep coming up. Fat Joe, thank you. Keep the podcast going. Keep the interviews. Keep talking. And so I'm out here. And that's what's so scary about me in New York, because when I'm out here, I'm out here. You see me on every corner. I can't duck and jump. I don't even know how people live in New York and you don't see them. For me, I got to ride through Harlem. Got to ride through the Bronx. Got to touch Brooklyn. Gotta touch the Lower East Side. I'm not even gonna lie, the only borough I really don't go to like that is Staten Island. And there's no disrespect, it's just out there. And I got the power in Staten Island. By the way, guys, I got the power in Staten Island. Most racist borough in New York City. I did Don Cartagena there. I did capital punishment there. Every time we drove from Bay Road to the studio, they had black and brown people up against the wall. Every single time. 300 times I went there. 300 times. And so me, we royalty, baby. We on another level. We royalty. We on another level. But Staten Island, I love Staten Island. I got family there. The Wu is there. The Wu-Tang made it so that you never forget Staten Island. And I'm with them. I'm just telling you about me going through Staten Island, man. Shout out to the Italians in Staten Island, too, my family. And so, you got to understand, man. We come from nothing. We royalty, baby. We royalty. You can be jealous all you want. Puzzle Life, what's up? You can be jealous. You can be a troll. Yo, I have had trolls for 20 years. You know what a troll is? A guy who tries to come on here every day for 20 years. Anytime they ever think about them is because they mention your name or something that's next to you or whatever. Straight trolls. Clout chaser. No way. Happy birthday, Busta Rhymes. It's Busta's birthday today. This guy will kill me if I haven't saluted the god Busta Rhymes. Don't do that to me. We look beautiful. They hate that we look beautiful. That we got Balenciaga shit on. Brand new everything. Diamonds glycerin. But guess what? We ain't had shit. And ain't nobody gave us nothing.
May 20th, 1972.
Oh, Jesus Christ. 49th. Happy birthday to the god Busta Rhymes. This is why, as Zariah Milan gets the big buck. Bucks, it's the GOAT's birthday. You see, Azzy, you said you do work today. You work today, Azzy. You work. She was like, hey, it's the GOAT's birthday. Yo, Azzy. And you know what Busta Rhymes calls Azzy? Scrumptious Muffin. Come here, Scrumptious Muffin. He used to blow on her stomach when she was a baby. Come here, Scrumptious Muffin. Busta Rhymes. Anybody at Busta Rhymes, anybody who knows Busta Rhymes, let them know I love you. With my last breath on this earth, I will always love my brother Busta Rhymes. Happy birthday. You look amazing. Much success, much love. God bless you, my brother. And I love you too much. And so, woo-ah, got you all in check. And so let me tell you something, man. They try to move you out the box. They try to talk you out your blessings. I told you yesterday, being miserable is a cancer. God gave us two eyes, two ears. We could taste, we walk. Beautiful weather, even the worst weather, you're still blessed to be here. Life is beautiful. Life is beautiful. Give you a Busta Rhymes story. I got one of the best Busta Rhymes story in the world. I'm in the studio with Notorious B.I.G. Yes, I'm in the studio with Notorious B.I.G.
Another story.
Me with Biggie. Rest in peace, my brother. And Puff Daddy. daddy's house. I am not drunk, brother. And so I'm in there with Biggie and Puff. Busta Rhymes comes in with Spliff Star, you know. Spliff Star, you know. Original Rude Boy Jamaican. And so they come in. And Busta does the Busta. Yo, yo, hold up. Oh, chill, chill, chill. Yo, play this song. And we like, yo, Busta, chill. Nah, play this song. So the engineer plays the song. Doo-doom, doom, doom. Ba-doo-doom, doom, doom. Ba-doo-doom, doom, doom. Send them with the villain, and they with the dilly, yo. Silly with the ice, really with the really, yo. My main man, honey, honey, the booty, yo. My main man, honey, yo, honey, the booty, yo. And they die. And while Buster's doing this, Spliff Star is diving on the board. He dives under the speaker. He's climbing, and they doing the doo-doom, doom, doom. But doo-doom, doom, doom. And next thing you know, I look at Biggie. I look at Puff. We start jumping up. We get so hyped. Yo, yo, yo. We stop. He got one. He got one. And so that is the best Busta Rhymes story I could ever tell you in the history of mankind. I don't have a better one. Tiffany, what's up? Tiffany the stylist, yo, let me tell you something. Shout out to Tiff, my sister. She called me today. She styles movies and TV shows all over the world. She just did the Michael B. Jordan movie, all type of movies. And she's like, so I'm talking to, she's family. Shout out to her husband. And I said, yo, Tiff, you always in Germany. You always this. I said, what do you tell your husband? Because she's in the fucking Bangladesh or something. I don't know where. Doing a movie. She was like, I tell him what you tell Loretta. You know, I got to go get that check. I got to go over here. I got to go. I said, damn. But yo, Tiff, she was like, yeah. What do you think Loretta thinks? Like, yo, Tiff, you work so hard. I'm so proud of you. Get to the bag. We only live once, man. And so a guy stopped me today, and I'm gonna end it here. Guy stopped me today, Dominican cat. He was in a white Beamer. He said, yo, Joe, yo, Joe, you inspired me to get this. And he pulled out some watch. I don't know exactly what it was, but it was beautiful, iced out. I was like, yeah, 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 good, man. He's like, yo, Joe, one time when I was a little kid, he told me somewhere. He said, you jumped out, man, and you gave all the little kids a $100 bill. Told us do good in school, this, that. He said, I really look up to you. I said, my brother. He said, I got a daughter now. I said, well, guess what, man? You only get one. So enjoy your life. Enjoy your life. And he looked like he's enjoying his life. And I just said, enjoy your life. And do whatever you want to do, because happiness is key. Happiness is the key to everything. As long as you're happy, whatever you do, you love collecting sneakers, whatever the fuck you like to do, collect watches, whatever you do, exactly. That makes you happy.
That's right.
I love food. I just got to watch the carbs. Real talk.
Gotta watch the carbs.
But whatever makes us happy, whatever makes you happy, is it. As long as you ain't violating, disrespecting, or doing no creep shit. Shout out to Boston on the check-in. Matter of fact, everybody tell me where you from. Put the town you from right now before I go off. Because I want to know who's actually tuned in. And let me tell you something. A lot of people tuned in every day. Shout out to Tito Trinidad yesterday. A lot of people tuned in. A lot of big people on here. You know, I mean, Cat Williams talked to me like he watch every day. I mean, everybody tells me they watch every day. Los Angeles, Shaolin is in the building. ATL, Detroit, Florida, Palm Beach, West Palm Beach, 156 in Broadway, Seabrook, H-Town. I just told you 10 states. The Bronx, Charlotte, North Carolina, Chicago. Motherfuckers throwing countries up there. I don't even know the Jacksonville, Florida, Duval, Broward County. Puzzle Life is in the building. Dubai, New York City, London, UK. I will be out there in August. Queens, New York, Vancouver, Canada, Washington Heights. Mayimbe, what's up? Puerto Rico, on the check in Freeport, Long Island, or Freeport, Bahamas. Santa Maria, Buffalo, New York, the Bahamas. College Park, Georgia. New Jersey on the check-in. Cali on the check-in. Hartford, Connecticut, the heartbeat. Mississippi. California. Newark, New Jersey. Puerto Rico, papa. Huntington Park, Philly. Belize. Shout out to Sean. Toronto, Kansas City, Missouri. Who the fuck you think we is? We not playing with these people, man. Kingston, Jamaica. Little Rock, Arkansas. Delaware. Harlem. This ain't a fucking game. Not dealing with you bums. Virginia. Passaic, New Jersey. Lower East Side. San Diego. Flint, Michigan, Kentucky, Richmond, Virginia, Palestine, on the check-in, Bridgeport, Connecticut, the whole fucking world, man.
We global, baby.
We global, man. And we inspire the people. This show is never about hate. It's about uplifting the people. Alaska, Anchorage, Alaska. Come on, man. Maine, Perth Amboy, Arizona, Tunisia. Fuck out of here. I got a big Connecticut story. We got beat up. You want white van, Connecticut? We got beat up in Connecticut one time because of a bum. Diego. Slovakia. Come on, guys. I can't even pronounce the St. Bart's on the check-in. Atlantic City on the check-in. Africa. You better believe it. Nobody been to Africa more than me. Sorry, guys. Truly sorry. Nobody's been to Africa more than Fat Joe. Bars Projects, baby. Angola, Africa, Luanda, Rwanda, South Africa, Tanzania, Dar es Salaam, Nigeria, Morocco, Ghana, Gabon, Equatorial Guinea, Djibouti. You ain't been to that shit. And when you hear these stories, you think I'm like, you ain't never been there. Mexico City, Patterson Projects,
yes,
Naptown, Boston, the BX, Belgium, East Harlem, Japan, Pittsburgh, St. Cloud, Florida, Minnesota, Germany, speakeasy dirge. The point is, Cuba on the check-in. ¿Cómo está mi gente de Cuba? ATL, Grant Houses, Turkey. Turkey, you got that ice cream that goes like that. We global. We about uplifting the people. We about God. We about believing in something bigger than you, bigger than me, as a collective. We come up here, we tell stories. Somebody asked me yesterday, Choba, what's your stories about Cuba? ¿Qué pasa? Cuba. La salsa. Liverpool. Santo Domingo, ¿qué pasa? ¿Qué pasa, maní? And so Frankie Needles was good. And so somebody said, what is it about? I said, well, I bring people on here and tell their stories. A guy was on here a couple of months ago, Con Body. He went to jail. He came out and started teaching people the jail workout, made a gym look like a jail in the Lower East Side, hires everybody from jail. They don't go back. That's what I'm talking about. Shine the Rapper. Biggest, the greatest story in hip hop. Shine went to jail 10 years in New York. No protective custody. Went in there hard. Came out, transported to Belize. They didn't want him here. He is an ambassador now for Belize. Come on, hip hop. Come on, hip hop. Come on, hip hop. I do not have a story about El Chapo. I would be lying.
I heard it all now.
Yeah, nah, I ain't got no Chapo story. Sorry, guys. I was long out the game since El Chapo came in. Brazil. Don't talk to me. Let me tell you something. Some people say, you know, back in the days, they was like, I'll tell you scenarios. When I said DJ Khaled is the Quincy Jones of now, I never said he's better than Quincy Jones. It's only one Quincy Jones. So now Brazil. Brazil. People get mad, right? They say rappers turn actors. The real actors who went to the school for acting, they're mad at rappers. They get the job. DJs were mad that Paris Hilton and other celebrities were DJ. Now you got African-American actors upset with the English black actors, because they're taking a lot of the roles, the kid from Snowfall, a bunch of them. Mm-hmm. Idris Elba, I could just, they're mad at them. Right? And so I'm giving you, Tone Sunshine, I love you, brother. I'm giving you scenarios, right? And so there's podcasters. There's people who've been doing this for years that don't have a big following or don't have the leverage or don't have Africa, everybody in the world tuning in like Fat Joe. So they feel like they paved the way and they're mad. They're bitter because they're like, look at him. He's a rapper. What else he want? Now he wants to podcast, talk to the people. They don't know. I didn't plan to do this. I did this out of love, out of fear for COVID, uplifting the people.
That's what makes it so organic and so real.
And so what I'm actually doing now is commentating. No different than Chuck or Shaq or Kenny Smith. These guys played the game. And so until you go to a favela, till you go to a favela in Brazil,
with a little 14-year-old with a machine gun,
machine gun rocket launcher. Till you walk into a fucking city of gods to do a show and you're greeted by the head of security as a 14-year-old kid, 60 pounds flat, with a fucking RPG rocket launcher, asking you for a light for his blunt. My asshole got this tight. Until you that, you, who are you telling me if I could talk about hip hop or whatever the case may be? You gotta be fucking kidding me. You ain't going to favela and they say, here's the mic. By the way, 62 cops got killed in the weekend right here. The fuck? You start thinking all money ain't good money. You tell me when you see a 60-pound guy, kid, 12, 13 years old, with a fucking rocket launcher that could shoot a plane, who wants a light on his blunt. You tell me your asshole doesn't get this tight. You have got to have played the game. I've been in the game. Every aspect. Until you've been kidnapping Africa. Where motherfuckers say, no, you don't go home. Got 100 dudes with machine guns over there. I had a security guard. His name was Big Biff. He literally touched the ceiling. By the time we left there, he was a midget. You can't tell me about the game. And I done went everywhere you ain't supposed to go to pay for my family's bills. Nobody gave me shit. I don't want to talk about the Rucker. We did that too. 99-1.
Big up LeBron. Talk shit about your Knicks.
Nah, you know, my Knicks, I'm so proud of them, man.
You can't wait.
Yeah. And so thank God for the time being we have some peace in Palestine and Israel. And everybody's been saying every time, talk about Palestine. Talk, and I brought Fatty on here to talk. And well, there's a little peace now. Thank God. That'd be good. The LeVar Ball, the Ball's father, yeah. Pause, to get him on the show would be God. Incredible.
He'll be the first person in the world I'll talk to you.
Yo, listen, guys. Let your darkest moments bring your most clarity. Happy birthday, Busta Rhymes. I swear I love you so much. Shout out to Terminology. That's my little man. Great guy. Shout out to the Good Dads project he got with Primo. I love Terminology. He's great for hip hop.
Good Dad game.
Thank God. In good times and bad times, keep the faith. I'll see you tomorrow, man. It'll be Biggie's birthday tomorrow. And I'm sure we could think of a lot of things to say about Notorious B.I.G. Also, Busta Rhymes. I didn't do him right. Today, I have to do something major for Busta Rhymes as well. So I'll do Busta and Biggie together tomorrow and I'll figure this one out because, you know, Busta Rhymes, there's never been a bone of hate in his body. He has supported every single age group, every single person who has come in the hip hop game. He has been a true ambassador for the hip-hop community. All right, y'all. It's the biggest in the game. Peace.